Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Mock here. We are continuing our study on anger using John Downham's book, The Cure for Unjust Anger, in this Puritan Treasures for Today series. Small but powerful book. And today we are looking at the evil effects of unjust anger. So consider all of these disastrous consequences when you consider unjust anger. Use these as another set of reasons to get a hold on your anger. And so there are many evil effects, and I'll touch just a number of them, though not all of the ones that Downham speaks about in his book. And so we have the evil effects on the whole person. Unjust anger defaces the image of God. It extinguishes love for God. Think of the whole epistle, the whole first epistle of John. And over again, we are being told, how can we say that we love God and hate our brothers at the same time? We can't both hate our Christian brothers and sisters, or even our neighbors. We can't say that we hate them and love God. We can't say that we love God all the while being continually sinfully angry at them. So unjust anger extinguishes love of God. It also overthrows prayer. In 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul commends the lifting up of holy hands, but he says we ought to do that without wrath. And so unjust anger gets in the way of proper worship of God. It also makes us like Satan. In John 8:44, we know that Satan is a murderer from the very beginning. And those who are children of Satan, those who follow the ways of the devil, are murderous at heart, and when they are angry, they are set to kill others, and that activity, that heart, is satanic. So to be engaged in unjust anger is to be engaged in following the ways of Satan. It's demonic. Moreover, unjust anger subjects us to the anger of God. In Matthew 6:14-15, we're told that if we don't forgive, then we should not expect to be forgiven by God. If we're going to withhold forgiveness because of some unjust anger we are harboring in our hearts, then we have a low view of the forgiving nature and the compassionate heart of God towards us. So that's the effects on the whole image of man, but we can go even deeper and consider the effects on the body. Now, you know that when you are angry, your body changes. Remember, the Lord has made us image bearers, embodied spirits or spiritual physical beings. So our anger, which is a soulish response to what is going on around us in our view of God and view of ourselves and view of others, that anger, which is a soulish response, has effects on the body. When you perceive an injustice, rightly or wrongly, your body changes. Your hair might stand on end. You have eyes that are set to kill. You have angry eyes at the object of your wrath. You have teeth that are gnashing, tongue that is stammering. Oftentimes when we are angry, we don't think clearly, and therefore we don't speak clearly. Our blood is set to burst. Our chest swells. Our hands are fitted for hitting. So our body is deformed, it's changed when we are unjustly angry or when we're just angry together. And there are effects also on the body. We see that unjust anger exposes us to physical danger. So Proverbs 19:19 says that a man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you deliver him, you will have only to do it again. He's not learning his lesson, and if he continues in his course of unjust anger, he's only putting himself in further risk, further danger. How many times have we ourselves been put at risk? We've put ourselves at risk when we are unjustly angry, or we have even hurt ourselves. Maybe we've banged a wall. Maybe we've slammed our hands on the table because we were angry. And yeah, it was better that we didn't slam our hands on a person, but we still slammed our hands on an object, and that had some effects on our own body. Maybe you had to go to the hospital because you broke your arm because of unjust anger. You know, there are many effects on the body that unjust anger can have. Moreover, there are effects on the soul. Unjust anger blinds reason. Think of Simeon and Levi in Genesis 34:25. They were angry at the rape or defiling of their sister Dinah. And it's right to be angry when someone is raped. No one's arguing against that. But they took that anger to the extreme and made many more people pay for the sin of another. And they had all these males circumcised with some kind of, under the pretense of covenanting. And once all these males were sore from circumcision, Simeon and Levi set off to murder these males. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says that anger lodges in the heart of fools. Anger is often called a short madness. It's a brief craziness. You know what it's like to be angry and lose sight of mental clarity, and you know that your passions are ruling the day. Anger becomes king and subjects reason to its reign, or even throws reason out the window altogether. It says it has no place in this period of time where I'm just going to vent all of my wrath on this object because of the injustice that I have just been experienced. So it blinds reason. It also inflames the soul with fury. It vexes, anger vexes and worries the soul. There are effects on the body, effects on the soul when we are unjustly angry. There are even effects on other people. It's not just ourselves that we are hurting when we are unjustly angry, but it's other people as well. It ruins friendship. In fact, the Proverbs 22:24 says, "Do not become friends with a wrathful man." You know men, women who are quick to anger. You know, you don't really want to be friends with those people, right? It's hard because you're like walking on eggshells around them. You are, you don't know when they're going to set off. The slightest perception of injustice will set them off. Those who are quickly angered they don't make good friends. There are also effects on other people in that unjust anger provokes further sin. So if you are angry, that anger might lead to blows, and those blows lead to wounds. Those wounds lead to death. It's when we are unjustly angry, it's not just the anger that we are dealing with. The anger sets off on a course of ruin. Unjust anger, as we know all too well in our societies, in our churches, destroys families. Families are ruined because of the husband, the father, can't get control over his anger. Too many families have been destroyed because of unjust anger. There are also effects on the public. There are tumults, uproars, seditions, conspiracies, massacres, and bloody wars that are all the result of unjust anger. Not every fight is worth having. Not every war is worth having. Oftentimes, those come about because people have perceived an injustice wrongly. And so there are negative effects on other people and on ourselves. There are many reasons to get a hold of your anger. So those are several effects that unjust anger has. Let me ask you this as we close out. How have you seen the harmful effects of bad anger in your own life? Focus on your anger, not on the anger of others. Don't deflect and say, well, they're more angry than I am. Consider the harmful effects that your anger has had on yourself, on your spouse, on your children, with your job, your boss, employees, friends, family members. How have you seen the negative effects that your anger has had? And if you need to understand more, if you're growing and being teachable and receiving constructive criticism, if you desire to receive a rebuke from a righteous one, then ask those that you trust. Ask your spouse. Ask your pastor if they've seen your own anger play out. And don't just stop at data gathering. Don't just stop at hearing about the effects that your anger has had. But confess. Confess your sins before God. Acknowledge them to be unjust. And pray to Him, asking Him that He would give you the self-control, the fruit of the Spirit that would curb those passions, that you would think rightly about injustice, and that you would respond rightly after the ways of the Spirit. We'll see you later as we continue to discuss unjust anger next time. Goodbye.